Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 15th, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Isaac and Van Newell. Isaac is finishing up the third grade and his dad Van, they both came on the podcast to read. I can't wait for you to hear about their lives and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, they'll read God's word for us. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Our first passage comes from Genesis 24. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. The best servant in his house was in charge of everything he had. Abraham said to him, "Put your hand under my thigh. The Lord is the God of heaven and earth. I want you to make a promise to me in his name. I'm living among the people of Canaan, but I want you to promise me you won't get a wife from my son from their daughters. Instead, you promise me you'll go to my country and to my own relatives, get a wife from my son Isaac from there." The servant said to Abraham, "What if the woman doesn't want to come back with me to this land? Then should I take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure you don't take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord of God of heaven took me away from my father's family. He brought me out of my own land. He made me a promise. He said, I will give this land to your family after you. The Lord will send his angel ahead of you. You will be able to get a wife for my son from there. The woman may not want to come back with you. If she doesn't, you will be free from your promise. But don't take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under Abraham's thigh. He promised to do what his master wanted.
Our second passage comes from Psalm 124. We are using the NIRV. Here's what Israel should say. Suppose the Lord had not been on our side. Suppose the Lord had not been on our side. When our enemies attacked us, suppose he had not been on our side. When their burning anger blazed out against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. They would have been like a flood that drowned us. They would have been swept over us like a rushing river. They would have washed us away like a swollen stream. Give praise to the Lord. He has not let our enemies chew us up. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help comes from the Lord. He is the maker of heaven and earth.
Thank you so much, Van and Isaac, for joining the podcast. We're going to talk a lot with Isaac, but first I wanted to talk to you, Van, about what it means to be a part of Mountain Brook Baptist to you.
I don't look at this church as a place where I have to go. It's where I get to go.
What is one ministry area that has impacted you or has supported you?
Working with the stream team, you know, the people that work with the cameras and the audiovisual aspects of the service, you know, that need during COVID was especially acute. But I think one of the things that's really good is having my sons with me to kind of help them show that they can have ownership of the church because they have a place and they're getting a little bit older to where they can not just be receiving, but also giving.
Yes. And the stream team is such a vital part of Mountain Brook Baptist. In fact, we need help in that area.
Always.
Always. So thank you and the team for what you do for Mountain Brook Baptist. Van, you're deeply spiritual. I want to hear maybe a passage of scripture that has impacted you over the years, and then I'd love for you to make commentary on this passage that we read today from Psalm 124.
Well, this past week on the podcast, we've been talking, discussing Abraham, and I think he's just an interesting character in that he's someone that is wealthy, but he's very poor because he doesn't have children. And for that time and place thousands of years ago, it seemed like such a curse, as if something you had done something very wrong because he had all this wealth but no children. I can't imagine going through life and living in a place that wasn't his and always feeling kind of living in tents rather than in a house. So I think this past week, with Abraham's hospitality to go to strangers and his humility and his humbleness to stop three persons and say, let me give you a little bit of bread and a little bit of something to drink. I think, and he generously gives, I think it's, I don't know, it's one of those things I think about. People that have been very much financially blessed, and their generosity and their attitude kind of befits, you know, how God has blessed them, to where that they're so generous with their resources that you can see why God has used those people to kind of bless them in that way.
And with Lot, I felt he was very generous with Lot. Like, look around, which area do you want to be? And we know that Abraham has flaws, but there's also things that we want to emulate. So his generosity is definitely one of them, which points us to the great generosity of our Lord. Speak to me about Psalm 124.
We're dealing with poetry. Sometimes less is more, because things are more compact. You know, we kind of dive more into them. I think you take a look at these stories, like with Abraham or Noah, you know, they're not very long in the grand scheme of things, if you compare, you know, your average American novel. And so there's so much, it's like a bullion cube with a lot of these psalms, that you add a little bit of water or time, you know, and it just kind of expands.
And they become really flavorful.
Right. And I think, too, is that one thing I might suggest to our listeners is to look at different translations and just see how the word choices of the translators impact. Because all of us, we have certain words that kind of cue us up and make us kind of how we kind of color it.
Is there a verse that stands out to you there?
Just the repetition at the beginning. Suppose the Lord had not been on our side. Suppose the Lord had not been on our side, right? There is almost a sense of this kind of drone or chant, to where not everyone obviously was literate in the society, to where people could learn something by repeating it, and it's much easier that way. Okay, I mean, you think about songs on the radio that repeat lyrics with choruses. You know, we memorize things without even trying because of that repetition.
I didn't ask you about your profession, but our conversation just brings it to light. Van is an English professor.
I teach at the University of Alabama, and I've taught there for 19 years. And I think one of the interesting things is that I've taught on Augustine, and I know that's a big thing with Wayne and Mary. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about Augustine is that he kind of has one foot in the modern world and one foot in the ancient world. Like, he kind of connects us in a certain sense, and that he's modern, and that he's writing an autobiography and his confession. This is just my personal interpretation, but if you ever read the Confessions, he talks about his sin a lot. And I think it's because so many people looked up to him because he was so well-spoken and well-read, that he wanted people to not put him on too high a pedestal, because it's so easy for all of us, especially for people that, you know, work in ministry, to think that we have to be perfect, and that leads to burnout, is that, you know, people need to kind of see our flaws or see our humanness.
Also, you won an award this past year.
Mm-hmm. I have a short story collection, a collection of fiction that's coming out next year. And it's basically an anthology where each short story takes place in a different state in the American South. So from Texas to Virginia. The one in South Carolina takes place where a young man takes a girl out on a date as like a promise to his mom, and Hijinks ensue.
And how do we get our hands on this anthology?
Well, it will come out next year, so I will shamelessly plug it on social media. And
can we pre-order?
I don't think so yet. It comes out in the fall of 2027. The wheels of a publishing work very, very slowly and everything. But
what was the name of the award that you were given?
The Skywave Fiction Prize. It's a publisher that's based out of Maine.
And how did you get the idea for doing a short story with all the southern states?
I felt like, you know, when you have a collection of fiction, I wanted it to be like interesting to a reader to where there's some kind of a theme to where it would have, instead of just random stories, it would be something that was more kind of like an anthology. I thought that might be interesting. I've just finished working on a book about the 23 state parks in Alabama. So I've driven all around Alabama the past 4 years and got 102,000 words written about it. So each place I've been to has been interesting. Like one is Bladen Springs. And the reason I call that one is because it's about an hour south of York where Dr. George grew up. And so I just thought of him and the church driving through there. And it's just neat seeing parts of America, parts of Alabama that you wouldn't see unless you had friends or family living there.
And is that book going to be published as well?
I hope so.
Me too. Me too. And now I want to turn to Isaac. Thank you so much, Isaac, for being on the podcast. We want to learn more about you. Tell us about your family.
I have a dad named Jonathan Pierce Newell, but he goes by Van. I have a mom named Sarah Newell. She goes by Sarah. I have a brother named Gideon Newell. He goes by Gideon. And I am Isaac Newell, and I go by Isaac.
Do you know how you got the name Isaac?
I think I got the name Isaac from the Bible.
Yes, even today you read a passage about Isaac. I thought that was very neat. And one set of your grandparents go to Mountain Brook Baptist. What do you call them?
Grandpa and Grandma.
Yes, and they're Anita and Clark Skelton. And then what do you call the other set of grandparents that you have?
Grandpa and Grandma Grace.
What do you like about having a brother?
I get to play video games with him. He cares about me. He smacks me.
What video games do you guys like to play together?
Whatever we really can with two-player games.
I see you have a Super Mario Brothers shirt on. Do you play Super Mario Brothers?
Well, we do. We just don't play it together.
Okay. Where do you go to school and what is your favorite subject?
I go to Shays Point Elementary, short for SMES, and my favorite subject is dismissal.
Dismissal? If you had to pick a second favorite, what would it be?
Recess.
Okay. What do you like to play at recess?
Soccer.
What are you looking forward to this summer?
My birthday.
When is your birthday?
July 8th.
Do you usually go on a trip for your birthday? Do you have a party? Do you have a certain kind of cake? I want to know all the things.
We have some cake, and there are different types of party. Last one that I'm hoping for this year is a water bounce house.
That sounds really fun. All right, tell me a fun fact about yourself.
Some people do know this and some don't, but I like WWE wrestling.
Now, you're going to have to educate some of us about WWE wrestling. What is it like? Who is your favorite wrestler? And why is it interesting?
WWE is interesting because you get to see them all fall on the ground and punch and sometimes even blood.
Even blood? Who's your favorite wrestler?
It's like picking something that you really like and another thing that you really like between each other. You just can't pick.
You just can't pick. Who are some of your favorites? Or do you like them all?
I like some and I like don't like some. I like Jey Uso. I like John Cena. Like The Rock, The Undertaker, Kane, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns.
Have you ever gone to see WWE live?
Yes.
What's it like?
Well, it's kind of like an NBA game where you see it from like high stands and also low stands. So like sometimes they even interact with the people in front row.
Really? Were you in the front row?
No.
Oh, man.
They cost like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, we can't afford that. Let's talk about your favorite foods. Do you have a favorite food at school and then a favorite food that your parents make?
I have a favorite food at school. It's the school Crispitos. And my favorite homemade heat food is probably shrimp stir fry.
Do you have a favorite passage of scripture?
I like David and Goliath. It's where God proves just because you're little, you can do big things. Even if you're a tiny rat, you can do some big things.
So what did David do that was so big?
He fought Goliath, which was very, very tall. And he just took a rock and he like spinned it and he throwed it at Goliath and Goliath fell straight down to the ground.
It was an amazing story of trusting in God. Isaac, you just came down front to tell the church that you wanted to join the church. Can you share with us about that process?
Well, the first part is you say that you believe in God and you will be with God and He is the Almighty. And then once you're done with that, then I waited a few years and then I talked there and now I'm planning to get baptized.
Yes, and isn't there like a little workbook that you're working through?
Yeah, there's a workbook about God and the stuff He has done. Jesus has died for our sins. He is the Almighty. No one can defeat Him. He is always the best in the world. He made everything perfect.
And what did He do for us so that we can have a restored relationship with God?
He died on the cross for our sins.
And on the third day?
He rose again.
What's one of your favorite things about the people at Mountain Brook Baptist?
They take care of people. They are, even just people with disabilities can still come here. It doesn't matter if you're tall or small, big or fat, you can still go to Mountain Brook Baptist Church. I would like everyone to have a good day and peace to everyone, and Jesus is King.
Amen. Thank you both, Van and Isaac, for joining the podcast today. Van, would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this podcast ministry and what's meant for me and for our other listeners. Let us remember that you are on our side, and I pray that we are able to help others who don't feel that God is on their side or don't realize it, and let us just be ambassadors of your love to them. Amen.